Joining us now to analyze today's headlines is Christina Mislan. She's an assistant professor of journalism studies at the Missouri School of Journalism. Hi, Christina.
Hello, Sonali.
Secret documents obtained by a journalist have revealed significant Western responsibility for civilian casualties in Syria and Iraq. Earlier this year, a coalition of nations, including the U.S., Canada, France, Australia, and others, began bombing Syria and Iraq, citing the Islamic State as a target. But documents obtained through the Freedom of Information Act by Joseph Trevithick for an online website found accusations of hundreds of civilian killings over thousands of airstrikes since May of this year. The coalition has only admitted to killing two people. More than a dozen cases were self-reported by the coalition but not properly followed up on and kept secret. The 14-page document has been published at airwars.org. And the documents are embarrassing for Western partners who are also faced this week with an influx of refugees from the countries they're bombing and have been accused by many of not taking in enough refugees. Well, Christina, what do you make of these documents? During President Obama's tenure, people seemed less interested in the casualties of our wars, but clearly we're still killing people with our bombs.
Right. So, you know, we've been talking months about this refugee crisis in Europe. And, you know, I think what the documents show is evidence, right, that there's a link here. And so often when we've been talking about the refugee crisis, for instance, the mainstream media, they talk about this issue kind of out of this context, right? It becomes just an issue about immigration, but it doesn't kind of take into context the actual issue of foreign policy, right, and military intervention. So what we have here is really an accumulation of years of violence, right? We've been talking about the U.S. doing drone programs and airstrikes, and not just the U.S., but many other countries as well. And we've been talking about the killing of even American citizens overseas and non-American citizens overseas, because it really shouldn't matter which country they're citizens of. So what we're looking at is evidence that says, you know, this isn't just ISIS violence, right? This is violence stemming from military interventions and occupations as well, and is directly linked to this crisis. So only can that crisis be really kind of talked about in an important, meaningful way once we bring this into the conversation.
Here in the United States, the new poster child of homophobia, Kentucky clerk Kim Davis, was arrested yesterday for contempt of court. She spent the night in jail. Ms. Davis was in the spotlight this week for defying the United States Supreme Court and refusing to issue marriage licenses to gay couples, saying it violated her religious beliefs. Now, Davis has also become a GOP darling. Senator Ted Cruz announced, quote, "Today, for the first time ever, the government arrested a Christian woman for living according to her faith. This is wrong. This is not America," end of quote. Conservative libertarian Rand Paul joined in as well. The Kentucky senator said, "I think it's absurd to put someone in jail for exercising their religious liberty." Meanwhile, at Rowan County Courthouse, where the drama played out all week, Davis's deputy clerk, Brian Mason, began issuing marriage licenses this morning. Well, Christina, how do you respond to the argument of religious liberty as a reason why someone won't do the job they're hired to do and told that they have to do by the Supreme Court?
Well, I think we should welcome this clerk to the many others who have also been imprisoned for their, you know, religious beliefs and expressions. But look, you know, these are the same people that would quote from our so-called, one of our so-called founding fathers, right? So this idea of separation of church from state, or between church and state. So I think that's important to echo here. This establishment obviously has been debated since Jefferson wrote it. But what I think is interesting, so you have this clerk, yes, of course she can exercise her religious belief, but the idea that she shouldn't have to do her job, which is directly tied to the state, is absolutely absurd. So what if we turned it around? What if we asked a clerk who identified as, for instance, an atheist, refused to marry a Christian couple? We would be having an issue of, you know, not marrying heterosexual couples, right? And so freedom of religion, of course, religious expression doesn't translate into oppressing other human beings because you don't agree with their lifestyle. Sexuality isn't something that should be relegated by the legal system. So what I think is she has the freedom to do something else. She has the freedom also to quit,
And finally, as the presidential campaign continues to heat up, Republicans seem to have a new target in sight, and it was only a matter of time. Candidates like Senator Ted Cruz and Scott Walker have in recent days been tying Black Lives Matter to what they call an anti-police culture that they also blame President Obama for. The Guardian newspaper reported this morning that Republican candidates have been testing new messages with various subtle edges and abilities to cut. Much less subtle than their attacks are those by right-wing shock jocks such as Bill O'Reilly and Rush Limbaugh. O'Reilly in particular has been taking aim at Black Lives Matter multiple times during his shows, saying things like, quote, every time there's a controversy about an officer shooting a black person, they're out there stirring the pot. Various Fox News hosts have called Black Lives Matter, quote, a murder movement and even a hate group. Well, Christina, I suppose we shouldn't be surprised at the overt racism of right-wing conservatives, but still it's cringe-inducing to hear the things that they say that they think are okay to say out loud. What do you think?
Well, yes, definitely. It's hard to listen to, and we shouldn't be surprised. But I will say that I'm glad it's being said. And the reason why I say that is that I often, you know, we're seeing what these candidates are representing. We're seeing what's going on in their minds, right? So we can start to really have a conversation about who do we want to run this country? Do we want these racist right-wing conservatives, or do we want someone more progressive that's actually going to support Black Lives Matter movement, right, and not use them as a way to tap into this white resentment that happens, right, or the white imagination, as some scholars would call it. So if some of these candidates want to use the Richard Nixon way of, you know, kind of constructing their political campaigns, I say, well, you know, bring it, right, do it. And so then we can have a Hillary Clinton, or even better, Bernie Sanders, actually have some real kind of substance when we actually talk about the debates.
Christina, thanks as always for joining us. We'll talk to you again next week.
Thank you.
Christina Mislan is an assistant professor of journalism studies at the Missouri School of Journalism. This is Uprising. We'll be right back.